See if I can pull this off.
I hate it when you're not around and the fact you didn't call. But mostly I hate the way I don't hate you. Not even close. Not even a little bit. Not even at all.
Welcome to the Sunday Movie Marathon. It's me, Max, all alone today. That intro, it's obviously very famous from the 10 things I hate about you, is it? Or is it 10 things I don't hate about? No, it can't be. That's got a very green eggs and ham sort of vibe to it, I think, that poem. I watched that last night, just as a bit of background, finished it. It's you know, it's one of the classics, I think. It's one of the classics. It's a bit dicey these days. Not that you can make a movie like that these days. 99 released. It's I feel like it's quite relevant to what I'm talking about today, but we'll get into that a little bit later, maybe. After I ramble on, see how long I can string this along, get like a substantial episode out of it. So, why am I alone? Chris and Darcy are dead. Or they're not free. I forget which. It's all about scheduling issues and all that. We were going to release, like the next episode, like a week late. And I decided, well, you know what I haven't done in nigh on, more than a year it's been. Has it? I don't forget. I think so. I a solo episode with just me rambling on about something. I was like, yeah, I could watch a movie and record myself talking about it. It's, probably going to be quite a challenge. I recorded a solo episode by myself walking around a cemetery for a Halloween special episode, I think in 2022. And I recorded that on my phone. It's not the best quality and there's a lot of wind. I don't know why I thought that would be a good idea. I just think that I talk better, or I feel like it's easier to talk or have things in your brain to talk about when you're walking around a bit. I think that's why when people are on the phone, you ever, when like your parents were on the landline or whatever, pick up the landline, they walk around the house a bit. You know, Mum, I'm trying to watch Dance Moms or something. That's what we watch. but yeah, I'm just sat down now and all the anxiety is just like, that's it. It's all just filling my stomach a bit. I wonder if, you know, I don't ever get, it's very, when you have no one to bounce off, it's quite strange, quite different, but we'll see how it goes. I'm going to talk about a movie today that I just watched today. This came about because in the episode I think we just put out, we talk about the Oscars, and we watched the Oscars, and beforehand Chris gave me a memory stick with a couple of movies that were nominated for Best Picture. So I was like, yeah, I want to watch Anatomy of a Fall and The Holdovers. Chris was like, I got you, man. I can put it on a memory stick for you. And he asked me, do you want anything else on here? Or I can give you like another movie if you wanted. And like a fool, I said, surprise me. And this, yeah, it's definitely a surprise. I thought he was going to give me something like kind of cool, kind of something new and interesting that I'd sort of heard of, but always wanted to go to get around to. But he didn't do that. He put on this memory stick. he put on this movie called Chestnut, Hero of Central Park. And I think it was like a day after he gave me the memory stick and I saw what was on it. And I was like, what is Chestnut, Hero of Central Park? What is that? And I think he just laughed at me. So the problem with me, I think, is that Chris knows I'll just watch anything. I'll watch absolutely anything and don't care what it is. Maybe I should. I'm just wasting my time with these movies, but I felt like doing an episode. It's not. It's like whatever. This is just what the movie happens to be. It could have been anything, I suppose. So, what is it? Chestnut, Hero of Central Park. I guess I'll get into it. Sure. I don't know how much I have to say about this either, so it might be a relatively short little chat with myself. So this came out in 2004. It was directed by Robert Vince, and it's about two young girls. They witness burglars leaving a puppy on the road, and they decide to take him to their orphanage, where they feel the need to keep him a secret from the nuns until they both get adopted by a couple from New York, who they also keep the dog, who's called Chestnut, a secret from, as they realise early on that the husband is allergic to dogs and their apartment building has a no dogs allowed policy. This is distributed by the great studio, or, you know, one of the great studios, Airbud Entertainment, like a family movie studio. These are the guys who brought you such classics as the Airbud movies, of course, MVP, Most Valuable Primate, Puppy Star Christmas, which is an old Sunday movie marathon classic from back in the day, and, you know, Phantom Pups, of course, we can't forget about that. And yeah, of course, Chestnut, Hero of Central Park. This is about him. This is about Chestnut, the dog. He's there and he's doing lots of crazy things. As he, you know, oh, how long can these two children keep this dog secret? Who knows? Yeah, it's all about that. There's sort of a criminal element to it. These burglars, they're sort of around. They're doing stuff. Not so much throughout the movie. You just call back to them like maybe twice or so. And they're like, oh yeah, remember also, we have burglars to this as well. So just remember that, keep that in mind. It's hard to know what to say with a movie like this. I mean, I feel like it's like a low blow. It's low hanging fruit. It's very easy to just come into a movie like this, you know, 2004 movie that no one has heard of, I suppose. I had never heard of it. So I don't know what this is. I guess like the title alone, it's funny. It's a funny title. But, you know, it's very much a product of its time. It's one of those sorts of movies. They don't make movies like this anymore. Probably for a reason, you know. It's got this very sweet saccharine vibe to it, you know, from the colour palette, which is, yeah, again, very of the time. The presentation and just like the story itself. I mean, it's a kid's movie. It is a kid's movie. Like, I don't know. So take that into account. It's not really trying to wow audiences, you know. Do Airbud Entertainment make movies to wow audiences? I don't know. I don't think their movies even get put in the cinemas. I mean, it's very difficult to get your movie in a cinema, but you know, they made loads. They've made so many, and the man behind it all is Robert Vince, the director of this movie. He has directed so many of these movies. I looked it up. He's directed most of the Air Buddies movies, if not all of them. He's directed like Space Buddies, MVP, of course, A Most Valuable Primate, Pup Star, Pup Star World Tour, Puppy Star Christmas. He's done it all. He just keeps going. He keeps plowing through these movies, making family-friendly fun. I didn't watch this with my family. I watched it alone at, you know, 2 p.m. on a Saturday. So I guess you can tell where my life's at the moment from that. Oh, what could I do today? How best could I spend my weekend? It's this. It's Chestnut. Brilliant. I think the it's, you know, it is low-hanging fruit, but it's also, it's there. It's just there. It skates by doing the absolute bare minimum. I don't want to shit all over this movie because at the end of the day, what is it? It knows what it is. And it's also, I feel like we got loads of these in like the 2000s. The 2000s is inundated with B movies like this. Of course, you know, it's actually, I mean, you got, who you got in this? I've forgotten her name. Abigail Breslin, of course. And a couple others. You got like Mackenzie Vega, who is it Alexa Vega's sister from Spy Kids? Yeah, it's not like unknown cast, but I think what it's trying to do, it does. It's hard to really critique it in any major way because it knows it's shit. It is shit. But it's like, it's not the worst. I've watched a lot of Hallmark movies. I did like a very, very brief spell where I watched a bunch of Hallmark movies. And it's sort of in the same vein of those, but it's a bit better. I wouldn't say that I'm like involved with it. It gets boring. It's a play-by-play. It's exactly what you think it's going to be. Quirky tale. Kids trying to hide a dog. How are they going to hide the dog? It keeps getting bigger. That's crazy. It's like a Great Dane. It's a Great Dane. They find, as a puppy, they sneak it back into their orphanage. They're like, don't tell the nuns. We found a Great Dane puppy on the on the road. They'll take our puppy away from us. It's like, okay, but how long can you keep that up? And it turns out a long time, actually. A very long time. They can keep this a secret from the nuns, who, as I hear it, are all saying, they can keep it secret from their new parents, who, you know, really, I mean, when you adopt children, I feel like you want to know more about them. I understand you have to give them this period of grace where you're not too in their face about it, and you want them to settle in, but they ignore what's going on. They keep the dog in their room. It's just in their room. They built a dog house on the balcony to their room. And they're like, yeah, he'll stay in the dog house on the balcony, or he'll stay under my bed with a bunch of blankets. And it's, okay, so like, how did it go on for this long? He grows to be a mature dog by the time anyone really finds out about him. Of course, there's one person who finds out about him, and that'll be their cleaner. But luckily, she only speaks Spanish. So the mum doesn't know. She doesn't know. Because she only speaks Spanish. She's like, oh yeah, we took Chestnut out for a walk. And of course, the mum doesn't understand Spanish. And she would be saying that in Spanish. She's like, oh yeah, sure. Yeah, great. Oh, how do you communicate with this woman? She can't even speak English. You don't want to be able to speak Spanish. It's also another product of its time type thing. Like all the Spanish or the Mexican house cleaner who doesn't speak English. It's like, okay. How many times have we seen this? It's very stereotyped, I think. I just feel like if the parents were even slightly more inquisitive with what the kids were doing, they'd have figured this out ages ago. They'd have figured out there was a dog in the house. I'm surprised the cleaner didn't realize it sooner. There's a scene where the dog rummages through like a potted plant, gets his paws all dirty, runs through the house, leaves paw marks everywhere. And the cleaner looks at the paw marks and she's like, ah, a rat. Like, what? A rat? How could they're paw marks? It's clearly a dog. And she sets up little traps to catch the rats. It's like, what? Just look at it. She's not an idiot. It's clearly a dog. You know dog prints when they see them. And I know they know dog prints when they see them, because there's also a scene where he gets into like the husband's study, takes out the burglars who are trying to come in, and he leaves little paw prints around in ink. He knocks over a bunch of ink and then it's like, okay, so if you knew that was going to tip them off that it would be a dog, why would the dirt not have it? No logic. No logic to Chestnut, hero of Central Park. It's and that's another thing. Hero of Central Park. He's not the hero of Central Park, actually. They go to Central Park, but he's not the hero of Central Park. He's in an apartment building. He's sort of around. And then I sort of wanted him to be like a hero dog, sort of run around, saving lives, taking names, cracking skulls, and cracking wise. But he doesn't do that. He just stays in this apartment building for most of the movie, just subsisting on whatever these children can feed him. And that's like, you know, Cheerios, stuff like that. I do wonder how they kept him so, like, he grew up, he was a big dog by the end of that. They even say, you know, I think we've been feeding him too much. I'm like, what have you been feeding him? How could that happen? With Cheerios, stuff like that. Just stuff they were like taking from the fridge and the pantry. And every time they would do that, the mum and dad would just sort of look at them and be like, kids, it's crazy, crazy world we're living in. What are these kids doing? I don't know. If I cared even slightly about what these kids were doing, I would check it out. But we've got them here. It's fine. We needed more people to fill this apartment building. Don't know how long they'd be living there for, like, without having just this extra room there. But you know, it feels all very convenient. These plot points that come out, we have to follow them to get to an eventual end point. Chestnut needs to go outside, and there needs to be this criminal element. And then you could really do without the criminal element so far as, you know, the burglars, they don't really do anything. And the first thing these kids hear about when they get to their new lives at the in New York is, oh, there are burglars about, and burglars are burgling our homes. It's like, oh, you really lucked out here. And I do wonder at the stupidity of these burglars, because they're not the brightest, but it's you know, when you try to burgle a home, you're not going to do even the slightest bit of reconnaissance beforehand, check habits, check when people are leaving their homes. But no, they're just like, I don't know, it's nighttime. Let's just go to like one of the walls outside of this apartment building. It's very tall as well. So it's like, yeah, we've got grappling hooks apparently. And we're going to grapple to this window, which is very conveniently open, end up in this guy's study. It's like anyone could have been in there. What planning has gone into this? And they did, I just, you know, it's like Home Alone a bit. It's a bit like Home Alone. And there's a very Home Alone-y type sequence towards the end. You get to this second act low point. One of the girls runs away with a dog. She's like, no, they're going to take my dog away. I want my dog. I love him forever. So she goes missing in Central Park and then tells him to leave as she goes back to her home to protect him. Which actually is quite insane, because if she thought that they weren't going to let her keep the dog, why would she just let it run off in Central Park anyway? Just like take it back and then they'll be like, oh yeah, we can't keep the dog, but we can give it to a good family. Is that not at least a little bit better than, I don't know, just letting him run around Central Park forever? Who knows? But yeah, at the end of this, Home Alone sort of sequency type thing goes on, which is all very convenient. You know, the chestnut is out in Central Park alone, and he sees these two burglars who very conveniently are the two burglars from the beginning of the movie who dropped him off. I'm pretty sure that was the insinuation. They've got very forgettable faces, but I assumed that was the insinuation. It's like, these guys who picked me up in the beginning of the movie, I'm going to go follow them. I don't like them. They tried to burgle my family. And it's, how did you run into them? How? Where were they at the beginning also? Because obviously they had to be at least sort of close to New York City, or maybe they were very far away. I don't know. But you have to go from that point at the orphanage and then run into them again as they burgle the exact place where you are now living. And then you run into them again in Central Park. You tail them back to the building the next night. Since he's run away, sort of, or the girls let him go, and they lead him straight back to the building that he was formerly a resident of. And obviously, they have to get to a point where you get over this second act low point, and the guy who owns the building, he hates dogs, and he doesn't want dogs in his building for some reason. I don't know why. I guess he just hates them. But you have to get them back to that building, and you have to go to the guy who hates dogs. You have to go to his apartment, exactly, which is what they do, which is very fortuitous. And then he has to home alone them and save the guy who was being robbed and who hates dogs. And the way he does this, Chestnut, he's clearly watched Home Alone, so he knows what he's doing. He's like spilling oil on the floor to like slip these burglars up. He's setting traps with twine. He drops flour on them from above. It's incredible. And all this happens, and then the fucking guy's like, that dog just saved my life. It's like, okay. Wow. How about that? It must have given you a change of heart, hey? You probably love dogs now. He's like, yeah, I love dogs now. This guy saved my life, and he gets to live here now. And that's all thanks to old Chestnut being the hero of Central Park. Brilliant stuff. Keeps your attention ever so slightly, just until, you know, it's not tearing your hair out boring. It just is what it is. And, you know, they're not going to, you know, he gets stabbed as well. they're not going to let the director of Puppy Star Christmas get away with killing a dog in his movie. Can't have that at Air Bud Entertainment. It's like, yeah, he's been stabbed. And they're like, it is very likely, girls, that your dog will die. It's like, really? Because why? Okay. And it does that thing where, you know, when people sort of almost die at the end of these types of movies, they're like, oh no, they're dead. I'm so sad. And they open their eyes a bit, or they move about, and it's like, oh God. Oh God, thank God he's alive. You know, like he opened his eyes, and they're like, oh dear Lord, thank you for bringing our dog back. It's like, and the music swells, and it's all very emotional. And everyone's so happy. Very, you know, she jumped the gun a bit. This girl whose dog it was. She's like, they're taking away my dog. I'm going to run away forever and live in Central Park with my dog, where they'll never find me, even though we clearly live very close. She doesn't stop even for a second to ask them to keep the dog, to even wait until the morning to see whether they've changed their minds, which they did immediately. And so, you know, you get this second act low point, which is a very long time, actually, because, you know, they're going back and forth. She runs away with the dog. She gets found, but she lets the dog run away. And they're like, actually, we would have let you keep the dog. I don't know why you ran off in the first place. And she's like, oh, damn it. I wish I'd have known that before I let him run away in Central Park. How the hell are we going to find him? It's like, it's okay, because he'll just see the robbers and he'll come back to the building. And in doing so, you found him. And also, he has saved the owner of the building. So now you're allowed to keep him. You don't have to move or anything, which the parents were more than happy to do at the end of the day, because you would be. You just got these kids, you want to make them happy. What are you going to do? Tell them to throw their dog out? I mean, it's amazing they didn't find him sooner. There's a big dog. There's too much convenience going on. I don't know what the time frame is. I don't know how long it takes a little puppy to grow into a Great Dane, but I assume it would take, I don't know, many months, years? I don't know. I'm going to Google this. How long does it take? How long does it take for a Great Dane to be fully grown? Yes, thank you, Google. Between 18 and 24 months, he was fully grown. He was fully grown. So this happened over the course of perhaps 2 years. And nobody found out except for the cleaner. So how did this happen? That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's just too much. But you know, I think kids would like it, maybe. It's about a dog. Dogs are cute. The kids are cute. Nobody's like really going ham with it. There's not much character here, you know. I think maybe the girls get the most character, but it's everybody else is sort of sidelined. The parents, they are basically nothing going on for them. Yeah, more character from like the Mexican or Spanish cleaner who's always pronouncing stuff wrong and doesn't know English. Yeah. That's just it. They keep the dog in like a shut drawer at the beginning in the orphanage. Like, it's okay, we can do whatever we want to do during the day. We just keep him in this shut drawer where he has no light and no air. We'll take him out for, you know, this is, and again, it's like, I don't know, is it abuse to just keep your dog inside all the time? They keep him inside a lot. Most of the time he's inside and they take him out for walks every so often, but they do have to come to that decision to be like, yeah, maybe we should take him on walks. Maybe we should get him out of the apartment, go take him on walks so we can do stuff and run around and be a dog. Just a sad little life for him to have led for the first, I don't know, few months of his life, where he was just a little drawer baby. And then he was a little balcony baby. It's not the sort of life that you would want for a dog, I don't think. But they don't care, you know. They're kids. They don't know any better. It does what it does. It's just does that, you know.
Yeah.
Did get me thinking about the whole like foster care or like orphanage system. I'm like, maybe that's like an unintentional part of the movie, but it did get me thinking about it. I'm like, oh, this is so sad. Actually, it's kind of a brutal system, you know. You make friends with all these. This was like an all girls orphanage. Make friends with all these girls over who knows how many years, and then you're just torn away from them, or your friends are torn away from you, going off to families, and perhaps you may never see them again. It's just a very sad system, I think. Maybe that was an unintentional consequence of me watching the movie and trying to get literally anything I could out of it. The movie certainly doesn't dwell on it. They've seen them all at the end anyway, it's fine. Realize I've spoiled most of this movie, but, you know, it's been out for a while, I feel. I had never heard of it before. I'm going to forget about it entirely, you would think. It's just one of those. One for the pile. Another one for the pile of Air Bud entertainment, you know. I'll say one thing about them. I feel like they're consistent. I feel like, you know, they know what they're about. It's hard to knock them for that. But these are mostly kids' movies. There's nothing really to go ham with when it comes to critiques. It's just, it is what it is. And that's what I was sort of worried about before I watched this. I was like, yeah, I'll do an episode about this. I'll watch it and talk about it. But it's always something in the back of your mind that goes, well, if there's nothing to talk about, there's nothing to talk about. And it's got its charm in that sort of sense. There's a bit to talk about with it. It's not totally terrible. It's not totally boring and dull, but it is incredibly inconsequential. But yeah, half an hour. All right, sure. I don't need to drone on about this. It's going to be quite a short one. But yeah, great time with Chestnut Hero of Central Park, directed by Robert Vince. He's on a mad one. He's getting work. I feel good for the guy. Hope he keeps doing it. Clearly likes it. Must pay quite well. Don't know how much these movies make. How much does this make? I'm going to Google this now. That's one thing I never do. I don't research. Oh, what's a movie called? Chestnut. There we go. Chestnut Hero of Central Park. Does it have a wiki? Let's see. Oh, or an IMDb. They got that on IMDb, I'm sure. Not that I would know where to look. I don't go on IMDb enough. All production, box office, and more. All right, sure. Okay, can't get to it. Sorry. We'll go on the wiki. Canadian American.
Okay.
Oh, all right. So it made its money back. It was $6.7 million budget. And it made back $10 million. You know, I think these do well. Otherwise, they wouldn't make so many of them.
Yeah.
It's short, it's sweet, it's sappy. It's not for me. I don't know. Don't know what Chris was thinking when he gave me this movie. He said that he had no idea what it was, but he thought the title was funny, which I understand is a big draw. It's a big draw when it comes to us. It's like, yeah, funny title. Let's watch that.
Yeah.
Chestnut Hero of Central Park. It's such a funny title. Jesus Christ. I'm probably going to... This one's... This one's getting a two. I'm gonna be real. It's not awful, but it's pretty awful. But it's not irredeemable. That's the thing. This one gets two Spanish cleaning lady stereotypes out of 10. It's one of those. Don't watch it. No point.
Right.
Well, I had fun. Hope you did too. That's that. I'm pretty sure we're gonna have an episode coming out next week, but we'll see. I don't know. Things always tend to get in the way for us, but yeah, next week for episode 144. If you're not familiar, we've changed the format of the podcast. Where before we were taking suggestions from a randomizer wheel, and we thought, well, you know, we've been doing this for 3 years. Why don't we stop doing that? As we're going insane, and I hate watching these sorts of movies that I haven't even picked. So we're picking them now. Chris gets to pick for the first one we do, and that'll be in episode 144. He picked the first three Exorcist movies. Exorcist trilogy, baby. Go and watch that. Go and watch those three. Do it. And then the episode after that, 145, will be a TV show episode. The TV show was picked by me. It's going to be season one of Dark. That's available on Netflix. German show. Crazy stuff, man. I'll watch it. Will you?
Fucking hell.
I have no more to say. So I'm just going to plug the social medias. YouTube, the Sunday Movie Marathon. Instagram at Sunday Movie Pod. Facebook at Sunday Movie Marathon. And Letterboxd at Sunday MM. Capital S, capital MM. Like, subscribe, rate the podcast 5 stars wherever you can. And show it to your nans. They'll love it. Yeah. Thanks for listening if you listened. It's been... I don't know if it's been a bit of a rambly one, but
yeah,
all good fun. Right. I guess we'll see you next time where there'll be 3 of us and I'll probably have more to say. Cheers. Later on.